Chapter 37. Lady Will looked cheerful at this frank answer, and said tentatively, "Am I forgotten? No. You are exactly as you always were in my mind. Then I have been cruelly deceived. I was guided too much by appearances, and they were very delusive. I am beyond measure glad I came here today. I called at your house and learned that you were here, and as I was going out of town, in any indefinite direction, I settled then to come this way. What a happy idea it was to think of you now, and I may be permitted to assuredly you may not. How many times I have told you that, but I do not wish for any formal engagement, said Lady Will quickly, fearing she might commit herself to some expression of positive denial, which he could never surmount. I'll wait any length of time. Remember, you have never absolutely forbidden my friendship. Will you delay your answer till some time hence, when you have thoroughly considered, since I fear it may be a hasty one now? Yes, indeed, it may be hasty. You will delay it? Yes. When shall it be? Say a month hence. I suggest that, because by that time you will have found an answer in your own mind. Strange things may happen before then. He shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go, and return to my first however, that's no matter. What did you? Lady Will began, altogether bewildered by this. It is a passage in Ossia which came to my mind, as possibly applicable to myself someday, she answered. It was mere impulse. A just one of your romances broken loose. There is no law for impulse. That is why I am here. Thus fancifully they conversed till the interview concluded. Getting her to promise that she would see him again, Lady Will retired to a sitting room on the same landing in which he had been writing letters before she came up. Immediately upon this, her aunt, who began to suspect that something peculiar was in the wind, came to tell her that Mr. Ney had been inquiring for her again. Send him in, said Ethelberta. Ney's footsteps approached, and the well-known figure entered. Ethelberta received him smilingly, for she was getting so used to awkward juxtapositions that she treated them quite as a natural situation. She merely hoped that Lady Will would not hear them talking through the partition. Ney scarcely said anything as a beginning. She knew his errand perfectly, and unaccountable as it was to her, the strange and unceremonious relationship between them, that had originated in the peculiar conditions of their first close meeting, was continued now as usual. Have you been able to bestow a thought on the question between us? I hope so, said Ney. It is no use, said Ethelberta. Wait a month, and you will not require an answer. You will not mind speaking low, because of a person in the next room? Not at all. Why will that be? I might say, but let us speak of something else. I don't see how we can, said Ney brusquely. I had no other reason on earth for calling here. I wished to get the matter settled, and I could not be satisfied without seeing you. I hate writing on matters of this sort. In fact, I can't do it, and that's why I am here. He was still speaking when an attendant entered with a note. Will you excuse me one moment? Said Ethelberta, stepping to the window and opening the missive. It contained these words only, in a scrawl so full of deformities that she could hardly piece its meaning together. I must see you again today, unless you absolutely deny yourself to me, which I shall take as a refusal to meet me anymore. I will arrive, punctually, 5 minutes after you receive this note. Do pray be alone if you can, and eternally gratify, yours, Mountclear. Apostrophe apostrophe, if anything has happened I shall be pleased to wait, apostrophe said nay, seeing her concern when as he had closed the note. Oh no, it is nothing, apostrophe said Ethelberta precipitately. Yet I think I will ask you to wait, apostrophe she added, not liking to dismiss nay in a hurry, for she was not insensible to his perseverance in seeking her over all these miles of sea and land. And secondly, she feared that, if he were to leave on the instant he might run into the arms of Lord Mountclear and Ladywell. I shall be only too happy to stay till you are at leisure, apostrophe said nay, in the unimpassioned delivery he used, whether his meaning were a trite compliment, or the expression of his most earnest feeling. I may be rather a long time, apostrophe said Ethelberta dubiously. My time is yours. Apostrophe apostrophe, Ethelberta left the room and hurried to her aunt, exclaiming, Oh, Aunt Charlotte, I hope you have rooms enough to spare for my visitors, for they are like the fox, the goose, and the corn, in the riddle, I cannot leave them together, and I can only be with one at a time. I want the nicest drawing room you have for an interview of a bare 2 minutes with an old gentleman. I am so sorry this has happened, but it is not altogether my fault. I only arranged to see one of them, but the other was sent to me by mother, in a mistake, and the third met with me on my journey. That's the explanation. There's the oldest of them just come. Apostrophe apostrophe, she looked through the glass partition, and under the arch of the court gate, as the wheels of the Viscount's carriage were heard outside. Ethelberta ascended to a room on the first floor, Lord Mountclear was shown up, and the door closed upon them. At this time they was very comfortably lounging in an armchair in Ethelberta's room on the second floor. This was a pleasant enough way of passing the minutes with such a tender interview in prospect, and as he leant he looked with languid and luxurious interest through the open casement at the spars and rigging of some luggers on the Seine, the pillars of the suspension bridge, and the scenery of the Faubourg Saint Sever on the other side of the river. How languid his interest might ultimately have become there is no knowing, but there soon arose upon his ear the accents of Ethelberta in low distinctness from somewhere outside the room. Yes, the scene is pleasant today, apostrophe she said. I like a view over a river. Apostrophe apostrophe, I should think the steamboats are objectionable when they stop here, apostrophe said another person. Nay's face closed into an aspect of perplexity. Surely that cannot be Lord Mountclear? Apostrophe apostrophe he muttered. Had he been certain that Ethelberta was only talking to a stranger, Nay would probably have felt their conversation to be no business of his, much as he might have been surprised to find her giving audience to another man at such a place. But his impression, that the voice was that of his acquaintance, Lord Mountclear, coupled with doubts as to its possibility, was enough to lead him to rise from the chair and put his head out of the window. Upon a balcony beneath him were the speakers, as he had suspected Ethelberta and the Viscount. Looking right and left, he saw projecting from the next window the head of his friend Ladywell, gazing right and left likewise, apparently just drawn out by the same voice which had attracted himself. What you, nay, how strange, apostrophe came from Ladywell's lips, before he had time to recollect that great coolness existed between himself and nay on Ethelberta's account, which had led to the reduction of their intimacy to the most attenuated of nods, and good mornings ever since the Harlequin Rose incident at Cripplegate. Yes, it is rather strange, apostrophe said nay, with saturnine evenness. Still a fellow must be somewhere. Apostrophe apostrophe, each then looked over his window sill downwards, upon the speakers who had attracted them thither. Lord Mountclear uttered something in a low tone which did not reach the young men, to which Ethelberta replied, As I have said, Lord Mountclear, I cannot give you an answer now. I must consider what to do with Mr. Nay and Mr. Ladywell. It is too sudden for me to decide at once. I could not do so until I have got home to England, when I will write you a letter, stating frankly my affairs and those of my relatives. I shall not consider that you have addressed me on the subject of marriage until, having received my letter, you repeat my proposal, said Lord Mountclere. Yes. My dear Mrs. Peterwin, it is as good as repeated. But I have no right to assume anything you don't wish me to assume, and I will wait. How long is it that I am to suffer in this uncertainty? A month. By that time I shall have grown weary of my other two suitors. A month. Really inflexible? Ethelberta had returned inside the window, and her answer was inaudible. Lady Will and Ney looked up, and their eyes met. Both had been reluctant to remain where they stood, but they were too fascinated to instantly retire. Ney moved now, and Lady Will did the same. Each saw that the face of his companion was flushed. Come in and see me, said Lady Will quickly, before quite withdrawing his head. I am staying in this room. Said Ney, and taking his hat he left Ethelberta's apartment forthwith. On entering the quarters of his friend he found him seated at a table whereon writing materials were strewn. They shook hands in silence, but the meaning in their looks was enough. Just let me write a note, Lady Well, and I'm your man, said Ney then, with the freedom of an old acquaintance. I was going to do the same thing, said Lady Well. Ney then sat down, and for a minute or two nothing was to be heard, but the scratching of a pair of pens, ending on the one side with a more boisterous scratch, as the writer shaped Eustace Ladywell, and on the other with slow firmness in the characters Alfred Ney. There's for you, my fair one, said Ney, closing and directing his letter. Yours is for Mrs. Peterwin? So is mine, said Ladywell, grasping the bell pull. Shall I direct it to be put on her table with this one? Thanks. And the two letters went off to Ethelberta's sitting room, which as he had vacated to receive Lord Mountclere in an empty one beneath. Ney's letter was simply a pleading of a sudden call away which prevented his waiting till she should return. Lady Wells, though stating the same reason for leaving, was more of an upbraiding nature, and might almost have told its reader, were she to take the trouble to guess, that he knew of the business of Lord Mountclere with her today. Now, let us get out of this place, said Ney. He proceeded at once down the stairs, followed by Lady Well, who settling his account at the bureau without calling for a bill, and directing his portmanteau, to be sent to the right bank railway station went with Ney into the street. They had not walked 50 yards up the quay when two British workmen, in holiday costume, who had just turned the corner of the Rue Jeanne d'Arc, approached them. Seeing him to be an Englishman, one of the two addressed Ney, saying, "Can you tell us the way, sir, to the Hotel Bold Soldier?" Ney pointed out the place he had just come from to the tall young man, and continued his walk with Ladywell. Ladywell was the first to break silence. "I have been considerably misled, Ney," he said, "and I imagine from what has just happened, that you have been misled too." "Just a little," said Ney, bringing abstracted lines of meditation into his face. "But it was my own fault. For I ought to have known that these stage and platform women have, what they are pleased to call bohemianism so thoroughly ingrained with their natures, that they are no more constant to usage in their sentiments than they are in their way of living. Good Lord, to think as he has caught old Mountclere. She is sure to have him, if she does not dally with him so long that he gets cool again. A beautiful creature like her to think of marrying such an infatuated idiot as he. He can give her a title as well as younger men. It will not be the first time that such matches have been made. apostrophe apostrophe, I can't believe it, apostrophe said Ladywell vehemently. She has too much poetry in her, too much good sense. Her nature is the essence of all that's romantic. I can't help saying it, though she has treated me cruelly. Apostrophe apostrophe, she has good looks, certainly. I'll own to that. As for her romance and good feeling, that I leave to you. I think she has treated you no more cruelly, as you call it, than she has me, come to that. Apostrophe apostrophe, she told me she would give me an answer in a month, apostrophe said Ladywell emotionally. So she told me, apostrophe said nay. And so she told him, apostrophe said Ladywell. And I have no doubt she will keep her word to him in her usual precise manner. Apostrophe apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.